are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Hey, Dave, you know what's pretty amazing?
What is it?
Is that everybody else around us is getting older and older looking, but you and I, fuck no. There's no way. There's no way.
You don't let the old man in.
Hell no. did Fred tell me that? Letting that, or was that you?
Yeah, no, Fred did. We say that all the time, but that's yeah. I got to give him credit for that one.
Yeah, because he said that. And I'll tell you what, that rings very true. Because I refuse for that to happen. There'll be times when I get out of bed, to be quite honest with you, I'm thinking, oh fuck, that guy's right there. But you know, I take a couple steps and I say, get away from me. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, true. Same thing here.
You know what I mean?
Same thing here. Sometimes you creep in the morning.
Oh, awful. Hey, did you lose your hair, or is this just part of your look?
Lost my hair. Lost most of it.
Yeah. So, listen, it doesn't show all the gray. I don't know if you had gray hair. Like, I don't think mine is gray. I think the lights are off. I think my hair is actually.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous of that on top there. I know we have the same. We're from the same country. I don't understand why I lost my hair and you kept yours.
Yeah, well, I can't really answer that, but I'm glad that I still have mine. You know. Anyway, hey. So, how have you been? It's been a long damn time.
So I've been really good. I know we're all getting on in age. I'm going to be retiring this year from, I'm a probation officer in Mass.
Yeah.
I retired. I moved from my house about 2.5 years ago. I had a big training center there and I gave that up. I had a heart attack in 2018.
Yeah.
And then, so then I decided to train on myself and work on myself.
Yeah.
Then I had a bad hip, so I decided to get that fixed, which I did.
Yeah.
And so everything's good. I mean, I'm getting ready to retire. My daughter's heading off to college, and we're doing great.
That's good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, Fred and I are connected. I was glad to hear you and I connected. I've been Fred and I have been sort of counseling each other.
Yeah.
On how to stay in control when we go to a gym and work out and see what's going on. It's not easy. It's really not easy.
You know, that's an understatement. It's fucking awful is what it is. It drives me nuts.
Horrible.
It's absolutely.
And I told Fred, I kept telling Fred, when I retire, we got to like write some kind of book and we should travel. And I got some contacts. And we'll call some of these gyms and see if we can get in there and and talk, not to trainers. I don't want to talk to trainers.
Yeah,
I want to talk to the clientele so they have a better understanding on what to purchase.
Exactly. Listen, when we do this, I'll tell you the role that I want to play. And okay. I'm serious about this because I have a big stick. I call it my Buford Pusser stick in my gym. It's one of those dowels that you use to do. Okay. I want to be that person in the gym that beats the shit out of all those trainers that are around there. Okay. That'll make me feel a lot better because I'm totally frustrated all the time.
I'm totally frustrated. I have had to teach myself because I'm a very social guy. Yeah. And although when I'm training, I'm training.
Yeah.
When I'm done, I don't mind talking. But I've had to learn. I've bought the big headphone. I almost look like I'm going to Ma. I got the big headphone so I don't hear anything.
Right.
I pull my hat down so I don't see anything.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing what goes on in those places.
Oh boy, and, I'll tell you. Yeah, we could do a whole lot of story.
Oh my God, we could do a roast like the old Dean Martin roast.
Exactly. And
it's disheartening. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I have once in a great while I may say something to somebody in the gym, and pretty much it's been responsive. They have no idea who I am.
Yeah.
You know, then they'll ask me, well, how do you know that? And I said, well, do you really want to know? And they said, yeah. I said, well, you know, I started working in a high school. I went to college. I got an undergraduate physical education. I got an undergraduate in athletic training, physical therapy. I got an exercise master's degree. I got an education administration principal. They look at me and they go, I go, why do you look at me like that? Do you think I'm dumb? Do I look dumb? You know, and I've held the National Association. I've held the trainers. I've had all that. I high school, I did Slippery Rock University. I did the ballet where I learned the most I've ever learned on how to train. I saw a podcast and you talking about skaters.
Yeah.
Well, take a look at a ballerina's legs.
Oh, yeah.
They do no weights. It's all single leg squatting all day long.
Yep. Enough said, right?
Yeah, and then a little bit of that, talk about volume. There's 6 hours, and then they go dance at night.
That's right.
And then they do, I was trained in Pilates back then. We used some of that. And why I was tired was volume isn't quick enough when you're on the job. And the male dancers were unable to pick them up because of their shoulders. So I was hired to come in and as quickly as I could get them up to speed so they could hold them.
Gotcha.
But that let me in the door, and I learned so, like, stretching. We're always told don't bounce.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
Yeah.
So I went to him. I said, let me understand this. I was told don't bounce. You're going to pull them up. No. You bounce because you contract all your muscles, because you contract these muscles, the other ones stretch.
Right.
We get a longer stretch. Right. I went, interesting enough, and how they do things is very different.
Well, it's just so much of it is just counterintuitive on every level. You know, right. Even like with the Bulgarians, when they said that warming up is a waste of time. I mean, that was so counterintuitive back then, you know, but they were right. Before I keep talking about this, because I want to continue back to this. I want to know about your heart attack. Did you have your heart attack as a result? Was it because of stress? Tell us about that a little bit, because, you know, I had 3 strokes and you had a heart attack. But how did that happen? And do you know why? Because I think it's always important to know the why before you can get yourself better.
So it happened at a time when I finally decided I was going to get out of my comfort zone, because my training is, I'll do personal training for people who want to change their body, but mine is in sports. Mm-hmm. So I was training motocrosses, I was training high school kids, but I decided to do a bodybuilding show. So I started training to do I was eating, doing the bodybuilding show. I was in the best shape of my life. And it came on one day out of nowhere. Now, it might have been a little bit of stress. My mom, who I was 97 and lived with me, had passed away in November. And so that Christmas, and I had gone through a divorce, and I was raising my daughter by myself. I had just lost my mom, who was helping me. So there was a lot of stress.
Yeah.
I was bodybuilding. I was doing what you need to do to be a bodybuilder. And a combination of all those things, I ended up with a 90% block. And on the way to the hospital, they had to revive me.
No kidding.
So when the end came and they put a stent in and everything, the doctor came into me. He looked at me and he goes, wow, because I was the best shape. I was jacked. I was big. He goes, wow, you're really in shape. I said, yeah. I said, well, what do I do now? I said, he goes, well, he was one of the national rowers at Brown University when he was younger. He's a big athlete. I said, what do I do? I'm a bodybuilder. This is how I eat. This is what I do. This supplements. These are what I take. He goes, look, to be honest with you, the Heart Association, all those associates, it's all bullshit. Yes. The way they tell you to eat is all bullshit. This is the doctor. I appreciated him telling me.
Well, he's actually right.
They spend all kind of money to put people on the board to create the food chart we have. They're not professionals, they're lobbyists. He goes, get as close to plant-based as you can. If you could do vegan, at least do vegan for a year. And then, so I went vegan. He said, your heart attack's probably a combination of your bodybuilding, your stress, and your family has heart attacks in it.
Yeah.
He said, so it's a common, to say it's all genetics is not true. He said, and it could be.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're going to get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian power burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
You were very heavy. Like after we hadn't seen each other, I shot up to 383 pounds.
Wow.
Was it, I was in a bad marriage. I had given up. It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
So he said probably a combination of things. So I went vegan. And not that I'm a proponent of vegan, but I'm somebody who likes to learn. And the only way to learn about it was to give it a shot.
Right.
And actually, I had 5 medications. And within 3 months, I was off all my medications, except I had high blood pressure as a child. That's something I've had forever. It's not conducive to anything. It's in me.
Yeah.
And an aspirin. All those hot pills and everything went away because all my numbers were better than I've ever been my whole life.
That's the most important thing right there.
And it's your nutrition. Now, you don't have to be a vegan, but nutrition is 2 things. It's energy and it's recovery.
Yep.
That's it. You use it for your energy and you use it to rebuild and stay healthy. So I'm sort of half plant-based down back into a little bit of meats and stuff, but I'm trying to decide what I want to do. I saw a real good, if anybody wants to look at a good movie, that Game Changers film.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, just to know some of the science behind it. It's not just right. The thing, but there's a lot of things you can do. So I try to tell my people, you know, and I've heard you say it before, you know, it's training, it's cardio, it's diet.
Right.
It isn't that hard, Leo. It's not that hard.
No, people overthink it and they make it too hard. That's right.
Well, they make it too hard so they can get paid.
Exactly. That's the truth. And I've always, one of the things I've always created around my training courses and for my clients as well as myself, it's always been, I call it those 3 components: training, yep, resistance training, cardio, nutrition. And then, you know, the other thing that we've also learned, and I've learned, is that there's a lot of ways to skin a cat. And like what you're saying, you're not saying that the plant based diet should be the only thing that you do.
Oh, absolutely
but,
not.
But it's worth looking at. And you have to, I'm like you, I'm all about firsthand experience. My dad, you know something, Dave, the old timers back then, because we were young and dumb, we always think that they don't know shit, you know, and that's right. Not true. My grandpa knew stuff. I just wasn't aware of that. My dad told me, he says, it's hard to replace firsthand experience. Albert Einstein said it. He said it in a different way. He said, true knowledge is through experience. That's what he meant. And right. So the point is you have to be willing to do that. And that's what's really frustrating to me about what I see online and in gyms, because like you, I've been around long enough, I can tell them somebody's full of shit when I talk to them for 3 minutes. And it's right. Because they're not willing to take that. Everything is you know, as a humanity is such that we always want something fast, you know, a quick Jenny Craig's and, you know, of the world. And it doesn't work that way. Not if you want long lasting type stuff, but you have right. To go through that process and you have to realize that there's a lot of ways to skin that cat. What yes. You eat and what I eat may be totally different. I may tell you, no, I'm a carnivore and that's what works for me. And that's okay. Yeah. But you, I would tell my clients, you have to be willing to go through that for X amount of weeks or even a couple months and then do your own analysis on that and say, okay, does it work for me? But who
that's exactly correct. It doesn't work for you. We're all chemistry and we're all built different, and something may affect you differently.
Yeah.
So you have to find what affects you differently biologically in your body and also up here. So yeah. Many people will say, well, how should I eat? Or they try these fad diets or something. The problem with them is they're going to stop them.
Yeah.
They're not going to eat that way the rest of the life. Try to find something that you can wrap around for the rest of your life for longevity.
There you go. And listen, I've actually accused the Jenny Craig's of the world. I'm saying Jenny Craig, but it applies to a lot of other ones. Yep. It's to the point where I think it's dishonest because they know people are going to fail. They cannot continue to do this for long term. It's a short term option. And with that being said, you know, if you're that person that needs a short term option, because maybe you're just like way overweight, you need to get some weight off fast. I mean, if you're that person, okay, maybe something like that works. But they know, based on stats, they know. If you take a look at the stats of those quick fix diets, it'll show you that after 8 months, the people that started those diets, they fall off the wagon and they're in worse shape than they were when they first started. What does that tell you?
Absolutely. And the other thing is I tell these people that the simplicity of it seems to have gone away because you can't make money if it's that simple. If something's that simple, you can just do it. It's simple. The amount of calories you eat supports a weight.
Yep.
It's that simple. But if you do one of these fab diets and you bring those calories down and your body becomes the weight that those calories support without training, without the proper nutrition, yes, you might have been 300 pounds. You might now be 200 pounds. But if I test you, your body fat's going to be close to the same.
Right.
You haven't changed anything, and you haven't made yourself you haven't made yourself a better body. It's not healthier. It's not right. In a better place. And then this is so hard, and you look so good, you quit. You go back, like you said. That's why it's not just the body, but as you know, you and Fred know this. It's about the mind first. It's the body second. Yep. You can go in a gym. You can go. I tell my girlfriend, and she's a yoga instructor. Like, you can go in a gym, and you can see people working out. And you see the 2% that are all in great. You look in great shape, and you look at the other ones that you've met for 5 or 6 years, and they don't look any different.
Right.
Is it because they're not hard workers? I'm not going to say that, but I'm going to say what they're putting in their mouth. What's on the table ends up in the chair.
Yeah, I agree, and you know, and the thing about it is, you know, the you know, who in the hell wants to go in? They people just always like the idea of looking a certain way, and we play on that. You know, that's the reason why they always sell you the dream. They don't sell you the actual workouts or what it takes. I get this when I'm doing consultations with people. I fact find, and I just, it's a place where I cut the bullshit right there. And that client, that person knows, as a personal trainer, I want to make sure that I get somebody who, because I tell the client, look, if you want to get in a certain condition, you have to be a part of the solution. Okay. Because so many people just, Dave, and this happens like with people in the stroke, people that had strokes. If you're just going to put yourself in somebody else's hands without just being a part of that solution, you'll never be, you're never going to be successful for the long haul. And that's what happens a lot of times, you know. And then too many people, just because of the way human nature is sometimes, they don't want to face the fact that they're part of the problem, maybe the biggest part of the problem. So they keep blaming somebody else. It's not unusual, you know, but that's just sort of the reality. And as a trainer, somebody who's a coach, a trainer, you name it. It's like, look, here's the reality of this thing. If you're not willing to do this, this, and this, then this is the wrong place for you to be. You need to go spend your money over there and waste it. You know, it's that hard reality. So when I get done with a person in a consultation, the reason they don't join with me is because they don't have the money or the motivation. And I'm okay with that. I can't help it.
I can tell you a story that really, when I was younger and I met you, we were going to the strength coach conventions when I was with the New Jersey Nets and Chuck Daly, and I was training. Arthur Jones,
I remember,
invited me to Florida.
Yeah,
I don't know if I told you guys the story at the thing. I think I did, but Arthur Jones invited me down. So I was had a radio show, I had a TV spot, I had all that. I was in 30. I was young. I was, you know, and he invited me down. So I went down to Florida and I saw his place. And at the time, it was Nautilus.
Yeah.
The Nautilus machines. So I went down, I saw all the machines, I worked out on them. He was an old man at the time, and him and his assistant. And he said, "Train the machines, what do you think?" He said, This is really great. He says, "We have the Nautilus, we have the varied resistance." And I said, "Arthur, it's varied resistance. How do you like adjust it?" And he goes, "What do you mean?" I go, "Well, everybody's lever is a different length. Yeah. So that varied resistance doesn't fit everybody if it fits anybody." I said, he goes, "Listen, let me teach you a lesson. People don't want to go to a gym and be uncomfortable. People, most of the people at the gym are lazy. They want to go and say, I work out, but they really don't want to work out. So what I sell them is I sell them a machine that says it's varied and helps you do the resistance. And if you look at my machines, they're all super huge, super wide, super, super cushioned so that they're comfortable in it."
Yeah.
And I said, "Arthur, great. That's great for you. I can't be involved in your advertising."
Yeah.
And I left.
Yeah.
We left on good terms.
But, yeah.
And he was right. And to this day, that's still what most of the people that's right. want.
That's exactly right.
So when they approach you and me to want to work out, they end up looking at us as pain.
Right. Exactly. You know,
emotional and physical.
That's right. You know, I'm sure you know who Tom Platz is. But
I still have that video on the tape, but I can't play it because there's no more VHS.
Okay. So, you know, Platts told me that. He said, you know what, the gyms today compared to the, and this is back when I was training with Tom, it was like the, probably early 90s now, because he took me under his wing for a while, which is the videos that we did. But he told me during those days, he said, you know, the angles of the equipment that are being made right now are made for the commercial, for the people that want to come in and do exactly what you're talking about. And he said, problem is that they produce less results because the wrong angles. They don't apply. Right. They're not really for the result, because guess what? It's that pain versus saying that I just went in and fucked around and call it a workout.
People want to know why I have 5 memberships. Because I went around and looked at all the gyms, and there's one gym that the leg extension, it's correct. The angle is correct. So yeah. I go just there when I do that.
Right.
And they say, you're crazy. You go all over. And my partner will go, first he didn't. Now he does. He goes, wow, I never knew any of this. And now he'll say, hey, we got legs today. Are we going to such and such a gym? I said, yep, we're going over there. They learned.
Yes.
And so when you, and I know when you get somebody who finally, finally genuflex to the Leo Costa way of things or the Dave Pavao way of things, at some point down the road, they really don't need us anymore, because now it becomes their life.
That's right.
And their whole life changes before them.
Right.
I wish more people would understand that whatever they're going through, whatever they're doing, if they can go to the gym and win that battle, the other battles are easier.
Right. That's right.
Because this battle is torture and you're getting through it.
That's exactly right. And I'm going to tell you, the people, you know, you're talking about the people that bow down to the, you know, to my way of thinking. Let me tell you where that really had impact to this day. My damn kids. Okay. Because when I came back from Bulgaria and I learned about prepubescent training, I told my kids at that point, they were around 10, because they said around 10 years of age, you know, with the kids. And they taught us how to train those kids. It wasn't all about strength training and heavy lifting, because it did actually stunt growth. And the fact that, as you know, your body, the growth plate just closed down much quicker. So there was some truth to that. But once I understood that, I got my kids to the gym, Dave, and I said, look, it's not if, but if you're going to play sports, you're going to be in the gym. End of story. I got young minds that I'm dealing with at that point. You know, they're more malleable, even though I was their dad. But you know what? For me putting them into the gym and creating that that habit, they've always been to the gym. They've always been in shape, and no one has to tell them to go do that. It's something that is just a part of who they are. Part of what we're talking about is making it something that's a lifestyle instead of a fad, you know, event.
Yeah. Yeah. And my daughter's 18. I had her late. I know I think you're a little older than me. I'm 63 now.
Yeah, 66.
Okay. And Fred had a birthday. He's 31, right? 2 days ago. Yeah, he had a birthday. I called him and I said, happy birthday. And he goes, I said, great. And how old do you think you are? I knew how. He said, 71. I said, no, you're not. He goes, what do you mean? I said, when you hit your birthday, you're now in your 72nd year. Oh, he was But anyway,
thanks, Dave.
You know, like last night. So you're really in your 67th year.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, you're welcome. So last time my daughter came in, I raised her since she was 6 alone after my wife left. We're very close. She's going off to college this year. And I came in, she works at a horse barn. She owns a horse. She works baling hay. And she came in, I said, I'm going to the gym. Want to go? Oh yeah, I do. She goes to the gym. She's been in a gym since 6 with me.
Yeah.
Okay. So she can do it. Yeah. So we're driving on the way to the gym. And she goes, it's been about a month or two since I did pull-ups. I hope I can still do pull-ups. The last time we were in the gym, Leo, she was working out, and there was a couple of young kids around her age, boys, they were trying to do pull-ups. They're helping each other, holding their legs and everything. She waited for them to be done, and then they moved right next to her. She went in and popped out 10 pull-ups, and they're just looking at her. I had to call her over and said, you have to have some humility, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Especially in these days.
Yeah. But you're right. Now, I didn't have as much. I had that experience with my daughter training her. I had a little bit of experience with a few high school kids, but most of my people were professional motocrossers, professional basketball players, and unfortunately, when you're in that business, it sounds glamorous.
It's not.
They don't want to train.
It's not.
My biggest job is to get them to work out.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that.
No.
And the ones I did to get, like the year I begged Kenny Anderson and Derek Coleman, I begged them. I said, can you not leave New Jersey? Can you stay this summer and work out with me? And they said, well, we'll do this. Kenny lived there. Derek was in Detroit. He says, I'll come in Monday through Thursday. And then I said, that's fine. They trained with me twice a day through the summer. They both made the All-Stars. And yep. That's the only time they ever made the All-Stars. Yep. And I tell people that story so that they can understand that whether you're a high school kid or a professional athlete, your body will react if you do the right thing.
That's exactly right. I'll tell you what I faced with the pro guys, because I trained a few of them. One that comes to mind is Johnny Estrada. Do you remember him? He's a baseball player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Again, just like what you said, you know, Johnny, when he came in, he enlisted me. But here's what I found, and I actually learned it from Johnny. It was a wake-up call for me. These guys that are making that much money, even though he comes to me, and Johnny and I have a great relationship. It's in no way am I you know, downplaying this or saying anything bad about the situation, because I learned from him. But one thing that I learned was, even though that they wanted me as an expert, they knew it all at that time. They had done enough training to where they had these preconceived ideas. And because at that time, when I was training Johnny, I was doing a lot of different types of movements that he wasn't used to. And of course, change is always a problem for all of us. And I was trying to convince him that, you know, look, you know, and so one day I just said, you know what, I got to make a drastic change here in the training, because I don't mind being questioned, but if it starts hindering progress, it's not good. It's a diversion. So I came up with the idea. It's called wipe the slate clean. So I took all these non-traditional type moves with Johnny, and I basically put him on the rail outside. I made him throw up. I had to get his attention, because he thought, even though he was, you know, he wanted me to for my expertise, because I was training him sports specific, position specific. And he was more used to that just general way of training. You know what I mean? This is one of the things I learned from being in Bulgaria, is to be that specific, not only to the sport, but to the position of the sport.
Yes.
And that
absolutely. That's the difference. When people talk about, you know, I need to train. Do I do a lot of sets, or do I do this? What kind of exercise? Well, when you're dealing with an athlete, you have to break down their movement. It's got to be specific. Specific physically, specific mentally. If you give them something too easy, you got to get that specificity of who that person is, because whatever their sport is, their lengths of their arms, you may train two first basements differently.
No, yeah, exactly right. You know, and so that was a real interesting dynamic. And a lot of those guys, because I work with more than one like you did. And to be quite frank, some of those guys were just a pain in the ass to work with, just because they make too much money and they knew it all.
Yep.
And, you know, that's just the way it was. But I'm going to tell you something, just like what happened with you, it just so happens, Johnny, after that day, he said, fuck it. He got on board with me. It just so happens that he made the All-Star team that very next year. Okay. Whether or not it was due to the training, it just happened. I'm just reporting the news.
Yep. 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 And the other thing too, is when you're training any kind of athlete, usually this just takes place in the pros, because you have all the professionals around. Everybody has a weakness, whether it's an ankle, whether it's their back. Kenny had just broken his wrist. I don't know if you remember in that play in the Knicks, Starks tackled him and he broke his wrist.
No,
he was out for the rest of the season.
No.
And Derek Coleman always had a bad back. So, and every year before we would start a season, I would sit down with the coaches, the head trainer, the doctors, and we would talk about the specific injuries that Naga played during the year. And they would say, come up with something to prevent that, because an athlete is 100% on day one.
Yeah.
He's never 100% again after that.
That's right.
The team that can get to the finish line with the least amount of injuries and the least and maybe be at 60% or 70%. So we would work towards those things. So with Kenny and Derek, I work. That's how I got him in the gym. Let me rehab your wrist. Let me rehab your back. And then I would expand it a little bit. Whoa, what are you doing, man?
Right,
crazy. And a little more. And they want to control it because with all the money they have and all the people around them, they're in control.
They got a lot of yes people.
Listen, I'm the man. You're not the man.
That's right. And it's
I said if I can go out on that every basketball court in America at pregame and shoot and let you beat the hell out of me in front of everybody, you're gonna let me beat the hell out of you here because this is my court.
They bought in.
Unfortunately, they only bought in that one year.
Right. That's a dynamic, and that's the relationship that most trainers don't understand. They're not strong enough because they don't have enough knowledge. They don't have a strong enough personality. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that I work with those guys. They taught me a lot of stuff, you know, and how to deal with that mentality and that type of person. And they were the ones that solidified, like what you just said, this is my fucking house, okay? You're in my territory. And we're going to do it this way. And that's just the way it is.
The gym I was in New Jersey, had the Jets and the Giants worked out there too.
Yeah.
So they're watching these guys. And they said, we're going to do squats. I said, we're going to do squats. And they actually had bought a Smith machine that was tall, because these guys are tall, right? 6'9", 6'10". Yeah. Kenny was 6'2". But I had a Smith machine. And what we would do is we'd do squat jumps. And you jump and come down. I'll tell you why. When the guys would come in that we were testing to draft. Chuck Daly said, I want you to test them. A couple of tests, and I had lasers. How fast can you get across the key shuffling sideways left? How fast can you get across the key right? How fast can you get from the top of the key right to the bottom of the key right? And I would test them. An instance was Ramil Robinson from Michigan came to us. He could go right in 0.07 seconds. He could go left in 1.0 seconds.
Is that right?
Now, once people start to beat them to the left, what's going to happen?
They're going
to
go so that way.
We had to know that, so we had to create the defense to always protect them to the left. Also, the rebounders. Larry Bird. How the hell did that guy get all them rebounds? He can't jump. Well, because he knew how to play position.
There you go.
And the other thing he had was, although he couldn't jump as high, he was the first one there.
Timing.
Why is that? We put a force plate down. When you go up, come down, and go back up, that's the measure we want.
Yeah.
When you come down from the first jump to go back, how long do you stay on that ground? Because if you're longer, the next guy's going up even if he's shorter. Those are tests we did. So I would use those machines in the gym. I'd have the flat foot, and I'd have them do the squats and jump to get that to go up like that.
And for the people that are listening and watching this, that's exactly what we're talking about. That's being very specific to the nth degree, to that sport, to that position. That is that's what makes the athlete. That, you know, so many athletes, their training does not translate and transcend over to the field because they're not doing the things that you're looking at the most minute things and creating a program based on that. And the old saying that these old sayings ring true because they are true. You're only as strong as your weakest link, and you're always identifying that. And that's going to change along the way. And that's where these guys start having a problem because they're having a certain amount of success right now. And you as a trainer are looking a little bit further ahead. You see what I mean? And that's the crazy dynamic, and that separates.
Yeah. And they're so fragile that when you show them a weakness, they get all messed up about it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. And this is I'm glad that I've actually talked to somebody because I've talked to a lot of people on camera. And this is probably the interview that has pointed out how specific that one can get for an athlete and that dynamic of making that athlete productive inside of all that with them making all the shitload of money and all the things that go into it. It ain't easy. Nothing like this is ever easy. There's always a process to that. You know, these guys that are performing at the highest level, they make it look easy, but it's far from that. And there's a reason why they get to that point. It's because of things like what you're talking about.
Yeah, they got to take, and they also got to learn how to take care of themselves.
Yep.
You know, before I got there, I'd heard a podcast you talked about being sore. Well, yeah, you're right. You get sore because you do something different.
Right.
It's not a barometer on how much you've done.
Exactly.
The barometer for us is shows in the stats. In the stat that you had the smallest that begins to grow larger. That's the barometer. If you're sore, you're sore. Now, these guys up and down the court all morning. I learned this from the ballerinas, by the way. They're doing 6 hours. As soon as they're done, they have to stand in an ice bucket up to their waist, up just below their waist, every day.
Yeah.
They put the toe cups on. They're in the ice every day. And I asked the person, because I was at the dance studio ballet on Miami Beach. That's what I worked for, dance studio that did, they did all their medicine. And I would go over and say, why are you guys doing that? And they said, watch. So I'd go the next day, 6 more hours. Then they go at night, next day. So I said, how do they possibly do this every day, this many hours? Because if you dance on your legs. They don't do anything else.
Right.
And their injuries were very low. Very low. And but they talk about working out and on that bar and everything. So taking care of yourself is also important. So you're right. It's your weakest link. Your weakest link. When you work on that weakest link, you're going to get sore.
Yeah.
Because it's not something you're used to doing.
Yeah.
So all you got to do is take care. And a lot of times they come in and say, what are we working today? It's the same thing from yesterday. Oh, what? No way. I go, two things are going to happen. It's going to get better. You won't get sore. And we're going to kick some of the soreness out.
Yeah.
And they look at me like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And then it gets better. And they go, wow. They think you know something nobody else knows.
Yeah. Well, that's how specific your physiology is. See, you're just keeping up with your physiology. I mean, little do you know, and you know this, but for example, if you train, I do circuit style training. Let's just say that I do a chest, shoulders, and tricep as a circuit, and I start with the bigger body part and then transition to the small body part. If I do that for a while and I just simply reverse order, guess what? You're going to get sore. Because your body is so specific in the way it adapts, because that's what it's supposed to do. And then
Arnold always said, as I walk in that gym, now, whether you're an Arnold fan or not, all I can tell you is he'd say, when I walk in that gym, my muscles knew what I was going to do. So I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I never let them know what I'm going to do because they think that's what he used to say.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's just really interesting. And hey, how can you expect most people to know that? How can you expect even a lot of the trainers that are out there to know that? Because it takes a long time to be in it this long to where you learn all this stuff. Look how many years you and I have been doing this kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, when I came back from Bulgaria, for me, Dave, that was a game changer, because that information, the body becoming its function, and if you want to get more progress, train the muscle more often, that was just going against everything that we were learning in this part of the country compared to them. But they could always make me understand the why of it. And that's what I think separates the great trainers from the ones who just are good ones, because they understand the why. I can tell you why this does that. Here's the reason why, because there's always a reason. And yet, now how many people spend that kind of energy and have that sort of enthusiasm enough? You got to love what you do. And I know you do. And I still do, man. I still get up. I totally am. If I don't have the gym in my life and my workup, that's just part of that's meditation for me. Every single day, I get up at 2:50 in the morning. And I go down to the gym. I don't have to. It's just, that's what makes me tick. Anyway, that's another story, but no,
you're right. And I keep telling Fred that, I'm getting ready. He's already retired. I'm getting ready to retire. I'm starting like a little baby. I'm starting a new life.
Yeah.
We have all this information. I don't have to go in a gym and be a personal trainer for 7 hours every day, 5 days. That's gone. I choose and pick a couple of people. Usually they're friends. Who have said, all right, I might do one or two at a time to help them out. But I want to do what we just did. And to have a group of people in front of us, look at that. They've probably never heard this before.
Exactly.
Ever heard this before. Yeah. And they can start to understand it. Myself, I'm training now. I'm very out of shape. I bought a house. I was painting the bathroom ceiling. I turned and I fell over the work light. Put my arm out, which I should have never done. Long story short, tore off the supraspinatus, tore the infraspinatus, dislocated the bicep tendon, tore it, and punctured the synovial sac.
No, do it all.
So I'm in my fifth week from surgery.
Ah, nice.
So there's ways to do it. But now I'm waiting to get, I have to do 12 weeks so it's healed, then get back to the gym and get my body. Here's another thing, and people disagree with me, Leo, and you may, and that's okay. I'm not talking bad about trainers, but you and I have knowledge in our head. If you and I lost the ability to walk tomorrow and we were in a wheelchair, we still have valuable information to help people.
True.
But when you're a young trainer and you're out there and you don't look the part,
yeah,
I have a problem with that.
I do too.
You don't have to be Leo Costa or Tom Plex, but you don't have a pot belly. You don't, you know, and I look at these people training and I go, they have this person who's clearly 70 or 80 pounds overweight doing plyometrics.
Yeah.
Or doing ropes. You know, and I'd say to them, hey, you train them 3 days a week, train them 2 days a week. The third day, go to their kitchen and help them eat.
Yeah.
You know, do something valuable for these people. Yeah. You know, but so that's why I told Fred, I want to get out there with you. We'll figure out how to get out there.
Yeah.
We'll get out there. We'll have to, we can go into a gym and we can talk to people. Talk to people. He likes talking. Let's just talk to people. You got it on the podcast. But unfortunately, I'm moving people. I told my friend, hey, watch my friend on podcast. Watch my friend on podcast. You'll learn some stuff. But there's so many people, so many, Leo, that need this.
Yeah.
That are being sold a bad bag of goods.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I don't care about money anymore. I don't care about money. I wanna live again. I've been a probation officer for 30 years and trainer. I've been dealing in the swamp of life.
Yeah.
But I've helped, and I'm juvenile, not adult. So I've helped some kids out of abusive homes. I've helped some kids out of gangs. I have done that. But the stuff I see, having somebody in my office, it was 2 years ago, no, a year ago, helping them get counseling there, and he hung himself the next day.
Oh, shit.
I wasn't successful.
Yeah.
I've done this. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do my passion. And this is the passion. And I want to talk to people. And I want to go around talking to people. And I want to teach people.
Yeah.
I make a few bucks along the way. Who gives a shit? I really don't give a shit. I have a retirement fund. So, but I want to do this. I'm alive again. But I got to get me now because I'm all broken up.
Yeah.
But I got to fix it. And I will fix it. And by spring and summer, I'll be right back on top of it. And I'm pushing Fred. I push him every day.
That's good.
You know,
that's good. You know, and the thing, you know, we all come to a crossroads and a lot of times it's a lot, it's more than one. We just have to get used to that fact that that's just life. You hope you come out on top of that, but it's going to happen. It's not if, but when. But my big crossroads, Dave, was when I had these three strokes 10 years ago that paralyzed me. I mean, you talk about a fucking wake-up call. A bodybuilder.
Oh, me too. I know. You know, who was going to take care of my daughter?
Oh, it was awful, man.
I was like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, it was awful. And I told myself at that point, I said, you know, this adversity that I'm going through, I'm going to let it destroy me or define me. I still had my wits about me. And that next move, that next choice that you make is consequential either way. And you've made that choice. Now you're working on yourself. And I made a promise to myself right there. I said to myself, you know, I don't want to get up. I don't want to bodybuilding. I don't want to go to that level. I'm still in the gym and I'm training harder than probably half, you know, the average person, because that's my mindset, but never like I did when I was a bodybuilder, because that was all based on extreme behavior. I'm not interested in doing that and get up on stage.
Right.
Not. But I said, I'm going to pay my body back for what I put it through those 15 years or so, because I put it through hell. And I knew, you know, as a bodybuilder, and even the sort of the job that you go into, you know that there's a certain amount of danger and there's consequence to what might happen. And because you love it, you take that chance. That's just life. And I wouldn't do it differently. But when something like that happens, I'd say to myself at that point, my stated goal, I'm big in the stated goals. That's a repeated statement, stated goal. It's redundant. But I said, I am now going to, instead of getting in the best shape of my life, I'm going to get into the best health of my life. And I made a promise to myself, David. That's a big change in the stated goal, because I have to put reins on me, because I have an obsessive mentality. When I get into something, I'm all in. I had to learn how to do shit like compartmentalization, because I'm emotional like you are. I can't do anything that I'm into half-assed. I can't do that. It makes me even more unhappy than I am, you know? And so I had to learn things like compartmentalization. I need to stress out about something, but just not chronically, for example, because that's where the problem is. And that's what I did. I said, I'm going to get in the best health of my life, David. And so far, I can prove it in lab results, because I test with my lab every 3 months, because I want to make sure that I'm not doing anything to my body. I don't want to put it through anything like I did before. It's paying me back again, like I can't even believe. I am truly in the best health of my life, because as you know, bodybuilders aren't in the best health of their life. They look great. No. They look like they should be, but they're not. They're the opposite of what their body looks like in most cases, especially if you do it for long periods of time, right? And I got to tell you something. And then I asked myself, and this is where you're at, and this is where I was at. I said, okay, so I'm not ready to call it a day. I love what I do too much, even though I'm, you know, the frustration with things, like when I see stuff, when people are doing the exercise wrong, it's always going to be there. It's just part of me. But I said, how can I stay in a business, in an industry that I truly love, great passion for? How can I stay in it and still be relative? Well, it's the
past. Oh, that's it.
It's the past information forward. This is what I can do now. This is what you're talking about going into the gym. I'm doing it, you know, via a podcast, but I would be all over that shit if I just don't know if the environment, you know, the way people are, they're really scared about this pandemic and all this stuff and all that. I don't know if the environment's friendly for people to come in and to gather, if they're too scared to do that. But I think that would be a great idea and something that's very needed, and it's relative.
Gathering in the gyms. We'll get there, but I'm going to work on it. I told Fred I'm going to work on it. And then I told him about the book. He's already bought Google on his computer, and he's getting going. So he calls me. Fred's a great guy. I know he's on the podcast. But he has so much. He's a great guy. He calls me up. He goes, "You did it to me again." I go, what did I do? You just had your thing with Leo. You told me it went great. Yeah, you're talking about writing a book. I went out and bought a laptop. Well, I didn't tell you to go buy the laptop. I said, he says, yeah. And he's calling me every day with a name for the book. So this is what I mean. I told him, this is what we need to do. And you are right. This is a turning point in my life.
Yes.
I'm leaving a life.
Right.
And I'm going to start a new life.
Yes.
And I've got to learn how to compartmentalize. I'm like you. I'm emotional.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't excite me,
yeah,
I lose interest.
I agree. No motivation.
And I'll even shut off.
Yeah. What is saying that?
Everything's got a value, though. I got to learn everything has a value. I should at least look at it. You know?
Yeah.
But you're right. I'm starting this new life, and I've made a couple of goals in my head. One, great. Best health of my life, just like you said. It's not about how big, how strong. It's not about any of that. Best health of my life. Along with that, the residual will be, I'll probably look pretty good.
Yep.
And then second, how can I be relevant?
Relevant.
Not how I was. That's not me anymore. And I have all this knowledge. I didn't know shit back then. I was making believe going along the way.
We all were.
I know it now.
Yep.
And I want to move forward with that. And I want to do it with people that have the passion. I need to have people around me. You and Fred. I need people around me who have the passion. Imagine we meet in Tampa and we have 5 days of this around camp, around the gyms and around, and we're together with the energy of two other people like that. That's the kind of life I want to live.
Yeah. And I totally agree. And I'm all for it. I'm still doing that. Dave, I think we're on to something. And the thing that what we really need to do, because here's what happens with a lot of us. I've done it. You've done it. We say something and we don't take action. And I think it's important to, because look, I know that you have a wealth of knowledge, and so does Fred. I know this is good information. A lot of times that's not enough. You know, Fred, I'm amazed at people sometimes when, for example, this applies to people who are rehabbing from stroke, to people who are in the gym that start making progress. I'm amazed at humans. And it's happened so many times in the years of they start making progress and then all of a sudden they quit. And you know something, not even that sometimes is enough for people, but you know what? That's not going to stop me from saying what needs to be said. You know, eventually I think you'll get that small percentage of people that'll really take this to heart. And I'm good with that. You know, I'm good with that. I've always been about standing up and saying what's not popular, not for the sake of it, just for the sake of it, because I can prove what I'm saying, and there's a reason why. And that's what keeps me center all this up, you know, because I'm going to stand up, and sometimes I'm just going to be counterintuitive. I'm going to say shit to you that you might not like, and that's okay. Right. And if you don't agree with me, that's okay too. But this is what it's all about, is telling the truth, even if it's not popular or if it hurts. And I think we're all in the same boat here.
That's us. We have to learn that it's okay for us not to be liked if we said something.
Yes.
You know, you're brought up by your parents, like, oh, you can't say it. It's always about someone else.
Right.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. This is about me being happy to get it out to other people. And if you don't like what I said, it's okay. It's not going to damage me.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, David, I think the most important thing here, it might be in a selfish act, but I don't think it is. I think it's really important that we make ourselves happy first and healthy and happy. And because it makes it, look, I can tell you this. When I made a decision not to go on the dairy, because I knew it just wasn't in my blood, because I came back from college and I ended up there. I told myself, I go, if I'm being really honest, looking in the mirror, I'm not happy. I just have a job that I'm going to, but I'm not happy. And I, way back when, I made a promise to myself because I wanted to be an athlete. I said, if I ever get a chance to have that buzz in the belly, fuck it. I am not going to question that. I'm going to go for it. Even if it's when I went out and started personal training, no one was doing it. People were asking me if I was an aerobics instructor. My family was telling me, are you crazy? That didn't stop me, Dave. And you know what? Looking back, it's the best damn thing I ever did. And that's the barometer and the measuring stick for my life and the direction I'm going. I always ask myself, do you have passion for this? And if I do, everything else falls into place.
Yeah, but it's perfect. It's just, you know, and I told Fred, we got to pull Leo in the loop now, like almost every day. We got to talk. We got to get different things. I'm not dropping this.
Yeah.
Goes, I don't. Okay. I'm not dropping this. And it's been a long time, you know, there are secrets about the great ape back in the day with the initiations we used to do, and we had fun.
Oh yeah.
And it was, but it was clean.
Yeah.
No one ever got hurt, and no one that was in it ever felt that they were embarrassed or anything.
Right.
We had clean fun. Now, did we toss a few drinks in the day? We did. I don't drink anymore completely. I don't drink. I may have a beer with a drink, but I mean, this is, we always had our passion. Think about who we were then.
Yeah.
Who we are now.
Yeah.
And I kind of like where we've come.
Yeah.
And to look at our age and to look at other people who are our age, we've done pretty well. And I think we're a testament to what we're trying to sell.
I agree.
And we're not, you know, people need to know, we're not just selling muscles.
Right.
We're not just telling you to do this. We're selling a mindset. Believe it or not, I know they don't believe this. I'm selling you happiness.
That's right.
Because when you get to a point in that gym, I'm going to tell you, you're going to love yourself.
Exactly.
And then the rest is easy.
Exactly. And I got to tell you something, because I'm a little bit ahead of you in where you're at and where I'm at.
Yep.
And I think Fred is still there. I think he's had, maybe because we all have setbacks. But I got to tell you, Dave, there's nothing better than to be my age, 66.8 years of age, to be exact. Okay. There's nothing.
Dave, your 68th year.
Yeah. Dave, I got to tell you something. There's nothing better than being excited about getting up every fucking morning at 10 minutes till 3 when I don't have to, and to go to work. I just love this shit. I look forward to every single day. I'm golden. I'm the luckiest guy in the world to be able to do that, because I've seen those who are just, life is just they're just waiting to die. And I just feel so alive. And that doesn't mean that I might not kick over tomorrow, but you know what? I'm living my life now the way that I want. And I see you are going to do the same thing. And I know Fred wants to get back.
We're pulling him in. We're pulling him in.
So let's keep talking about this and our pathway forward. You know that I'm, like I said, I'm 100% there. And I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the podcast. You know, the thing about, I'm not that person who has a lot of close friends, but I'm going to tell you something. You're that friend of mine that I haven't seen you for 20 some years. And you come back, you come back on the show, and it's like I talked to you yesterday. And that's
yesterday. Yep.
For me, that's sort of the definition of the people that really mean the most in my life. So I appreciate
it. And I feel that about Fred. That's why the three of us together, I think, would be a dynamic.
Yeah. And right. I really appreciate, you know,
because we like each other.
Yeah. You know? And we have history now, a lot of it. And I appreciate you
coming. And we all have different history.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Beautiful thing. So I appreciate you coming on, and let's do this again sometime, but let's keep talking.
Keep talking. I'll give you a call. Yep.
Right. Anyway, listen, I'm glad you're doing well. Keep it up.
And, okay. Well, thank you very much. I love you, brother. Keep it going.
Right on, man. Take care of yourself. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.